Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Couple of intellectuals.
Yep.
Some people think.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a very vast selection here at the podcast.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
A lot of episodes. I'm sorry, Nathan, we have to do a comic about women.
And yeah, not my favorite.
I know, I was like pulling teeth with this guy.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think the last woman centered comic we did, I wanted to do Absolute Wonder Woman.
That's true.
So what's a woman comic book you wanted us to do? Name one.
This.
No. Before this.
Ah.
Yeah, see? Who's the misogynist now? Maybe you stop projecting towards me. You can't even think of one.
I know, I have a list of
I said I wanted Risa Tana. Guess who's against that? You.
You know, Spider-Woman.
That's true. You did about it. I kind of want to read that too.
Yeah.
Then I need to get some off my chest.
Oh, shit.
I was up at like 2 or 3 a.m. I couldn't go to sleep. And I was delusional enough to write down like jokes or ideas or something in my head.
Those are the best jokes.
And I couldn't. I was too scared to share them with Sophia. So I need to share them with you. Because if I shared it with Sophia, I think she'd be like, what are you even talking about?
Okay.
So I have like 3 different ideas. And so the first one, which I couldn't stop thinking about, because I think it's really funny to me, it's Erica Kirk at a Turning Point USA rally, except to hype up the crowd, she has them imitate her like Freddie Mercury does in that one concert.
Uh-huh.
So it's just her.
Da-da-da-da-da,
like,
or whatever.
Hey-oh. And it's just like all the Republicans out there trying to do the same thing. I thought that was really funny.
Okay.
A band
that'd be like just like another level of ridiculousness of those rallies.
I just like to think of it because she's very flamboyant, I think, with a lot of what she does. But a band that only self-titles their albums, but they never settle on a name, so they change the band name for every album that they have.
I like that because then you could have like different sounds,
yeah,
you know,
different eras,
and then like,
but then it's just really bad for SEO,
yeah. But like, if you know, you know, kind of thing,
yeah, it's true,
yeah, because then like. You can kind of compare the bands, you know, and then when people leave bands all the time, so like,
no, this is the same band every time,
right? I know, but like a guitarist leaves or whatever, mm-hmm. and they get a new guitarist, and then they're working on their next album.
Oh, true.
And it's just a different sound,
yeah.
You know,
it's like a new band.
I dig that, it's a good idea.
And the last one, pigeon released at a funeral. You know how they do that? They release a bunch of pigeons,
like doves.
No,
I think it's pigeons,
I think they're like white pigeons.
Okay,
I watched a video on pigeons. but pigeons release at a funeral, but one of them is a carrier pigeon that serves divorce papers to someone who's probably having a bad day already.
What if it's like someone at the funeral?
Yeah, it is somebody at the funeral.
That's, and then like there's like one of those guys who like serves papers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I had those ideas in my head. I had to get them out.
Okay.
And now I won't think about them, I don't think. So this is good. This is therapy, I think.
Yeah. We got ranked, Nathan. Top 70 comic book podcasts.
Top 70 hottest men who host podcasts about comics.
what did we rank? Like 30?
Out of 70 people, 70 podcasts, we're in the top 50%.
Nice.
Top 50 even.
What rank was it?
25.
Ah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. You couldn't remember?
No. Because I forgot about it.
Hey, 25 is pretty good.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. Top 25.
We're like above like podcasts that I know are better. You know, I don't know who made this list.
They don't think so.
It's super random.
It is very random. I don't think that person listens to 70 different comic book podcasts.
Yeah. Maybe it's like put it together based off of like ratings or something.
I'm pretty sure. Probably not even that. We wouldn't even make top 70.
we got only 5 stars, Nathan.
No, that's true. Maybe it's just probably some curated list and then they just randomize everything past like top 10.
Yeah.
But. Happy to be a top 25 comic book podcast.
Yeah.
According to whatever that website was.
Something a little weird happened. The day before our Multiple Man episode dropped,
mm-hmm.
the actor who played Multiple Man in the X-Men movies died.
Right.
Eric Dane.
Quite unfortunate.
Yeah.
I forgot he was even in the movies.
Yeah. I thought it was someone else who played him in that. And then I saw the clips. I'm like, oh, hey, that's that guy. I know him from like Grey's Anatomy mostly.
Right. You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's also in like Euphoria.
The dad?
Yeah. He's a dad, yeah.
Wait, he's multiple man?
Yeah.
No. The dad with like gray hair in Euphoria?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched.
He's man. Like,
because I
like,
heard he died.
He's like, I'm very confused. He's like, you're confused. I'm confused. That guy.
Yeah.
So.
Whoa.
Yeah, big bummer.
That is a big bummer.
Rest in peace.
His name's Eric Dane?
Yeah. I sent you the clip of it, too.
Yeah, you did. I just didn't connect it. He looked like a fucked up, like John Travolta or something.
He did have black hair, which I don't think was...
No, I've only seen him with gray hair and like kind of a weird mustache because of Euphoria. But yeah, that's totally him. Should have been a multiple man movie.
Dude, I know. It would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what year Batman Beyond is set?
Isn't it like 2030 or something?
2039.
Yeah.
We're only 13 years away, dude.
Yeah. You know what movie I watched that was supposed to be set in the future and we passed it?
I was watching Blade Runner.
No, I was watching Click with the Adam Sandler movie.
Oh.
And there's like a part where like his dad dies and it's like in the future.
Yeah, like the saddest thing ever. Dude,
that movie's fucking brutal in the third act. It's just constant turmoil. I
turn it off.
I should have.
At that point, before he dies.
I knew, the only thing I remember was the rain scene.
Yeah.
And I mean, that part's pretty brutal. But there's like 40 minutes of that movie that are just really sad all the time.
Yeah, it's like,
anyway,
fucking brutal.
Henry Winkler, I think is the actor's name.
Yeah.
He dies.
Got it.
And he's at his like tombstone. And it's supposed to be like in this future time. It's 2021.
Oh,
I'm like, what if he died of COVID?
No, like everything was like hologrammed and shit.
Yeah, everything was there's holograms. The desks,
because that came out in like 2007. Yeah,
the
something.
Office buildings were all like futuristic and shit. And like his son's getting water and it comes out from the fucking from the ground. But yeah, I was like, it was kind of funny when it panned over to the tombstone and it's like 2021.
Yeah. Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. If you want to skip past our early banter, we got the book, which is Batwoman Elegy. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Quite a bit of news.
Yeah, it's a good amount.
We had Comics Pro last week, which is a convention of some sort that I know about.
Oh,
I don't know where it is, but it's people announce stuff there.
We're comics pros.
And also May solicitations come out.
Yeah.
So. Nathan!
Exciting new books, Daniel.
A lot of new books.
Crossovers.
Huh?
Did you hear about some of the crossover books coming out?
DC Sonic.
They're doing that again.
Metal Legion.
Yeah. What a mess that's going to be. Sonic's already kind of a mess, we found out.
Dude, they had like figures. I went to GameStop and they had figures of like the crossover Sonics where like Sonic is like the Flash or whatever.
Oh, cool.
And like Knuckles is something.
Yeah, that would sell.
And then like
he's surely something.
And then like Shadow was like Batman or whatever.
Oh, that'd be cool.
They're pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, I'm in.
And because like GameStop is like half like just like
just a little trinket store now.
Yeah, like toy store, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of Sonic, he's crossing over with somebody else. Different property. Did you hear about this?
Let me guess. Let me guess.
It's with something that has a bunch of other crossovers.
Godzilla?
Yeah.
What?
Sonic versus Godzilla.
Oh, no. Can I see the cover?
Yeah. Well, I have like part of it, but it's the same artist as the Sonic series that we read.
He does a great Godzilla.
Dude,
actually.
He does. It's actually really good.
There's a couple artists on that run that we did, but
I think it's one of the ones that we read.
Nice.
And so that'll be pretty cool. I don't know when that comes out, but I think it's probably in May. Damn, another crossover.
Let me see if...
Let's see if you have this one.
You know, it's all for my crossover news.
It's Marvel Universe crossing over with the Jay and Silent Bob's universe. It's called Jays of Future Past.
Hmm.
And it's going to have...
This is a one-shot, yeah?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
And it's going to be written by Kevin Smith, makes sense, but illustrated by Giuseppe Camuncoli, which is pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd do something like that, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. New Image book, JT4, James Tynion the IV.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say his name anymore.
Yeah.
JT4.
JT4, I like that.
JT4 is good. Marguerite Bennett. They're doing a book called Odin. It's coming in May. I don't know. I didn't really look that deep into it. I just thought it was a thing.
There's something about like Nazis worshiping Odin and some journalist.
Oh, yeah.
And some journalist is trying to like get in there for some reason.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Could be cool. I like Marguerite Bennett.
Yeah.
Some of her stuff. We got Robert Kirkman's returning to a superhero book that he's launching. It's going to be with Adam Kubert, David Finch, and Art Adams. So he's got some heavy hitters in there, and it's called Terminal.
Oh.
And it's going to be co-written by Joe Casey as well.
Is that an Image thing?
Yes. Skybound and Image. Yeah.
That's Hickman?
Did I say Hickman? Kirkman. Robert Kirkman, yeah.
Kirkman. Speaking of Hickman.
He's doing some?
Yeah. Is his first name John?
John.
John Hickman?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we're close.
Okay.
Me and John. Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah. Jonathan, okay, that sounds better.
Yeah.
Jonathan Hickman, Nick Spencer, Mike Del Mundo.
Ooh.
Work on a new Dark Horse book coming July 8th called Foundations.
Hmm.
I didn't look into what it's about.
What was it? Robert Kirkman? Sorry, Jonathan Hickman.
Jonathan Hickman.
And who?
Nick Spencer.
Mm.
Mike Del Mundo.
I do like two of those guys.
Yeah. So that's a thing.
Rob Guillory, new book.
Really?
Did we talk about this?
We couldn't remember.
Nope. he's doing a horror series with an artist named Sam Lotfi. It's called Innards.
Hmm. So, good name.
Cool to see him. I think he's only writing it and Sam Lotfi's doing the art.
Okay.
I'm glad to see that guy in the comics sphere.
Yeah.
Of course, he's the artist on Chew.
I like when he does in Farmhand.
Yeah, and Farmhand.
I like when he does the writer-artist thing.
Yeah, writer-artist is awesome.
I think like his art just matches his voice the best.
Totally.
You know?
I think, yeah, his art's unlike anything anybody else really does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's really found his own style.
Yeah, so I'm glad he's still able to do that, mm-hmm. rather than, like, conforming or something.
Yep.
Concrete, Nathan. You ever heard of concrete?
It's in the ground. Or on the ground.
On the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 90s comic character called Concrete. And it's coming back.
He's just like a round dude, isn't he?
Concrete man, yeah, basically.
I wonder if that's any good.
Maybe. That's a collection.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, this looks sad.
We should read it. Add that to the list.
Yeah, I think I looked into it. I think it's hard to find.
We'll find it.
I don't know if it's in print.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, Concrete, : Sand Over Stars.
Do you think his skeleton is like rebar?
Good one.
I'm just asking.
It's not a joke. I don't think so. I think he's maybe a man.
He's probably cracking all over the place. I found out why there's rebar and stuff to prevent cracking. I don't know how that works still, but I watched.
Well, it's like support.
Yeah, but it's supposed to like help with the contracting. I don't know.
Oh, like expansion?
Expansion, yeah.
Anyway, coming June 17th, it's going to be 5 issues, come from Dark Horse.
Cool.
Matt and Mark Rosenberg, I guess they're brothers or something, doing a book with Andy McDonald. He was just on Multiple Man that we read, right?
Oh, cool. I don't know. Yeah, that's right.
And it's a book called If Destruction Be Our Lot.
Yes.
Long name. We love a long name.
Mm-hmm.
Coming May 6th. It's about a world where like humanity's died off and all that stuff is like robots.
Cool.
I think they do something, but I was kind of...
I would assume they do something.
I was won over by humanity. It was died off, you know?
So Matt and who Rosenberg?
Matt and Mark Rosenberg.
So a bit of nepotism.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nepo brother. Anything else?
I think I would hope that if one of us gets really famous, we would help the other be a Nepo brother.
I'm asking if you have any other news. Not any other thoughts.
They're bringing back What If.
Are they?
Yeah. None of them seem... I mean, they're just like a bunch of one-shots across June, July, and August.
Okay.
None of them seem that fun, except for What If Captain America was unfrozen in 2099.
Ooh.
I would read that. That one's going to be by Mark Guggenheim and Ron Lim.
Any cool creative teams?
Alex Pecknadel. And Kafu.
Why would I be interested in that?
I like Kafu. Not really anybody crazy creative team wise, except for what if the Runaways hadn't run away? And it's Rainbow Rowell, who did a lot of the
Runaways.
Yeah, Runaway stuff.
That's nice.
That's cool.
But they're bringing it back. That's cool. I like that they're doing this. Hopefully they can kind of not like expand on these stories, but like at least get more what if stories going. Because yeah. I enjoy those.
I do too. I just, some of them are like, what if Thor got Spider-Man symbiote suit? And it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
But there are some interesting ones like, what if Kraven survived his last hunt? And it's like, okay. I like when they kind of touch on previously established like famous storylines, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just have a simple idea like Captain America in 2099 instead.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Oh, wait. The biggest news. Did you hear about the new Dead Man book?
Yes, sir. Ice Cream Man team.
Didn't we say that?
We might have. I think you did.
I think we were trying to think of ideas for that creative team to do another character at DC. And
but
I
it
think,
felt like too recent because we just did a book on it.
I think that's why it was fresh in my mind was Dead Man. Because I think that character could be really cool. And this is definitely the creative team to do it.
Yeah. I didn't expect them to do... I think we're more brainstorming Marvel stuff.
I think we were.
Like, I didn't think we expected another... I'll have to listen back,
but I'm pretty sure we said that like at least a week or two before.
Yeah.
So...
Pretty sick.
Go us. Maybe they listen to us.
Good job, Nathan.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. they came up with the whole book.
Maybe they listen to the top 25 of comic book podcasts and listen for suggestions.
But it's called The Dead Man.
Yes. That's how you know it's like premiere.
Yeah. So that is definitely
the most exciting
news.
I saw a random comic TikTok about someone who said that they didn't like Ice Cream Man, but then they kept reading it and they like had their mind changed on it. But they only read the first volume initially when they said they didn't like it. And I was like, I like that.
Oh, so it gets better?
So I guess it gets better.
Nice.
So I just off of that alone, I was like, I should just read all of that.
Yeah, I really wanted to catch up on it.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that creative team. I think they're super cool.
Mariko Tamaki is going to be writing a new Hello Kitty book.
Let's go.
Hell yeah, brother. Cody Lemieux on art. Coming July 22nd.
That's fun.
I can't remember who the publisher was, but yeah, she's doing that. Mariko Tamaki's also doing that like Barbara Gordon breakout book.
Is there Hello Kitty lore? There must be. There's like that one frog, Froppy.
What?
Froppy? You don't know about Froppy?
I don't know, dude.
Sophie told me about Froppy, and then she got a stuffed animal of Froppy. And
surely
I'm like,
there's more than just toys. There's got to be like.
But something. I'm saying that there's characters in the universe, so I wonder if they have lore.
You probably, maybe, I don't know. It's up to Mariko Tamaki. Maybe
yeah, that's true.
Maybe there's mangas or something, you know?
Yeah, probably. That's probably what it is.
Anyway, what book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Batwoman Elegy, despite your best efforts to avoid a female-centered comic book.
I put this book on the list.
Yes, you did. I'd never heard of this, to be fair.
It's a compact book, Nathan. One of DC's compact book.
That's right.
Or did you just glaze over all the woman books and they came out?
Put them out of my mind.
There's only like a dozen of those compact books. And you'll
No, there's more than that now.
How many do you think there are?
Watchmen, All-Star, Superman, a couple Batmans in there, Wonder Woman.
You're at like six right now?
We've got some more in there. Batwoman, or no, Batgirl. I knew that one.
Yeah. Very proud of you.
I don't know any other ones.
Yep. So you did.
I only remember the ones that I've read, I feel like. Year One. There's one that I bought that I haven't read yet and I'm forgetting, but it's The Catwoman by Brubaker and.
Yeah. Ooh.
That motherfucker.
Dang.
Dude, I'm having brain fog.
He has another compact book.
Yes. Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a second, dude. I can't.
I read some of his stuff.
Why am I thinking his name starts with an N? It doesn't. Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me have that.
Ends with N.
And does he cook? Let me tell you.
That's cool. You just bought that just because?
I've had it for a while. I need to read it on like a plane or something.
It's a compact book?
Mm-hmm.
You got the Wonder Woman one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I actually think that one's really good.
I think people don't like that one.
People should talk about it more. Why? I think it's good.
I think it's because it makes Wonder Woman like a man hater, which is like not necessarily like a very...
I hate the men in that book too.
Wonder Woman, like, lore. I don't know.
She's very critical of them for sure.
I've come across a couple like Wonder Woman like focused accounts, you know?
Interesting.
And that's like one they're not like huge on.
Really?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah, I think so.
I think she's about as critical in absolute to that military dude in the first arc as she is with everybody else in the Grant Morrison one.
Okay. I mean, I really can't speak to it, but I just think
that's interesting. I'll have to take a look at that. But anyway, we read Batwoman Elegy by Greg Rucka and J.H. Williams III. He's the third because I think there's three of them and they all have different art styles.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that about? Colored by Dave Stewart.
Goat.
And there's some letterers in there too.
Todd Klein.
One letterer, Todd Klein. Wait, this is back when they only wrote Batman created by Bob Kane.
Yeah, that wasn't that. It's pretty recent when they added Bill Finger.
Really?
Like 2014, I think.
Bummer.
Did you ever watch that documentary?
No, I was just thinking that.
It's so fucking sad.
I bet.
It made me want to kill myself.
Dude, I mean, I should
for
watch
Bill
it.
Kane. Bill Dude, Finger.
I should watch it. Bill
it's,
Kane.
It's very good.
Yeah.
We got an intro by Rachel Maddow. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your favorite MSNBC political commentator?
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's got her own show. And I follow her TikTok. She's really good.
Yeah, she's been the anchor woman of several syndicated talk radio programs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Big fan. I didn't read the...
What did you think about this?
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
I get confused sometimes.
Sure.
But I was quite impressed, I think, with it. And I definitely know more about this character now. I feel like kind of going into this, I'm like, I've seen her in stuff and I know what she's kind of about. But never really like that deeply. And I think that this is a cool origin for her. And definitely, I didn't realize that this was like a Detective Comics like arc.
Yeah, it's before they had...
This is before they had like Batwoman on her own. Yeah. And I'm like, this is like definitely worthy of that because this is like quality shit.
Yeah.
So J.H. Williams, who I'm pretty sure we've read a couple times.
I tried looking into his stuff. He's done a lot with like Alan Moore, but I don't know if we've read
Was he Unwanted?
Before. No, that's J.G. Jones.
Oh, see, I get them confused, I think.
Is it the acronym?
It's the acronym starting with a J.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he like...
This guy fucking rules. It up.
It's crazy.
It's mind-boggling to me.
I was like, do they have like five different artists in this book?
Because like the time period changes the art, but the change is like so drastic.
The art's different when she's like not wearing her suit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
And I'm like...
Like the context just changes the art.
But also, a credit to like Dave Stewart because he also colors differently.
The coloring, yeah, I think is really great as well. And I've
Dave Stewart's like definitely like top three, you know. So
yeah, for sure, me too.
It's good that he like shows in this, you know.
But I would like go to certain parts of the book and think, oh, this is really cool. I wonder who did this art because I only know about J.H. Williams. And then I go to the front and it only says J.H. Williams, and I didn't believe it.
Every issue it shows.
I know who it says it. Right there. And then I would hit a different art style. I'm like, oh, I wonder who did this. It's literally the same dude.
I'm like,
it's crazy.
This looks like this guy.
He like,
looks
is like able guy. To just seamlessly and competently draw in these different art styles without it being
kind
like,
of rude.
Jarring.
He's like three people.
I know. What is he doing now? Is he okay?
Maybe he's pretending to be someone else.
Dude, he could be. Could be. But yeah, this is cool. I liked a lot of this origin and stuff. So,
yeah, like I feel like I didn't know her origin definitively, but like a lot of stuff I feel like I knew about her, like her dad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like filled in some blanks.
Who's doing the new Batwoman?
Is it
Rucka again?
Tony Fleece
is writing it?
Yeah.
And then Danny is on art, right?
Yes.
That's gonna be so cool.
Wait, it might be Rucka again.
I don't think it's Tony Fleece.
Yeah, Tony Fleece, he's doing Terminator, Deathstroke the Terminator. I wrote it down, maybe. Is Batwoman, Rucka, and Danny, yeah.
Okay, cool. This might be my favorite Rucka that we've done.
Have we done any other Rucka?
The one with the Axe Lady and They Live Forever.
Was that Rucka?
I'm almost positive.
The Old Guard?
Old Guard, yeah. That's Rucka. But I've read a couple other Rucka things because I always saw them like advertised on Comixology or whatever.
He's done a shit ton.
He's done a shit ton. Definitely a lot. But I think this is probably what I enjoy the most out of his stuff so far. And I like the Old Guard.
Hold on. Don't look it up.
I'm just going to look up Greg Rucka books. Is that okay? Am I allowed?
Nope. Okay. Not allowed. Are you right? It felt wrong for some reason.
No, don't ever think that I'm wrong about anything.
I think you're wrong most of the time until I think about it. Initially, I always assume you're wrong.
Why? I'm pretty smart, I think. Oh, we should read Gotham Central. You have Gotham Central right down behind you, and you never read it. It's still in this fucking shrink wrap, I think.
No, it's just a shiny book.
Oh, okay. Did you read it then?
It is in shrink wrap. No, I'm not. I was waiting for us to do an episode on it.
I'm down.
Have fresh feelings.
Lazarus is the one I'm thinking of. I tried reading that, I remember, a long time ago, and I was like, this is just whatever.
Yeah, that came back, too.
Cool. Anyway, this book. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So, Detective Comics 854.
If you like double page spreads, this is the book for you.
Oh, my God. If you want some shit spread out for you, this is what this is for you.
If you like being spread wide open, this is the book for you, baby. If you
want to be discouraged to read something on your phone, this is the book for you. This is the book for you.
This is the most pro paper book I've ever seen.
Yeah, it really is. As soon as I hit like four double page spreads in a row, I was like, okay, maybe this is the one I read on the Kindle.
I was like, I need to break.
I normally read it on the Kindle, but yeah,
I need to like project this on my TV.
Get a projector for your wall.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I'm not gonna get distracted anymore, sorry. Part one. So there's like a religious cult in Gotham called the Religion of Crime.
Mm-hmm.
Don't love that name.
Bad name. I've heard of it before, though.
And they're kind of like obsessed with Batwoman. And there's like a whole prophecy that's revolving her, and that has a new leader. And so Batman tells Batwoman to take care of it and call if she needs anything. So we see a little bit of Batman in there, Daniel. We gotta have something in there for the Detective Comics readers. Kate Kane, who's Batwoman, is the daughter of military colonel Jacob Kane, who oversees and supplies the Batwoman operation. Who's kind of like the Oracle, in a sense. And Batwoman fights each coven of the Religion of Crime until she finds the new leader, who is Alice, and Batwoman like shoots at her. She's got guns that are non-lethal. Daniel, do you know the hair is not real?
Yeah.
I don't know if I knew that. I don't know if I didn't know she had a bob.
She's always had like shorter hair, not necessarily the bob.
But I know the like Ruby Rose one. Like the CW, remember the CW show?
Yeah.
I knew that like she had shorter hair, but I thought that was just because it was Ruby Rose. I didn't know like the long hair was fake.
Yeah.
And after, you know, there's a part in here where we see her with just short hair and with the costume on, and I'm like, the long hair was a good choice.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that.
I thought this kind of looked like Mike Allred in a way.
Yeah. Like see,
the really, it's mostly the eyeliner, I think, and like the big eyes.
Mm-hmm. That really.
But these first makes couple sense. Pages without her, and she's like fucking ghost white. She's like always like super pale.
Yeah, pale white. I guess that's just how her skin is.
Yeah.
She's that white without the costume. But yeah, pretty cool. Crazy spreads all over the place. Very dynamic feeling, which I think is cool.
It kind of feels like when she's in costume, she kind of does like her lipstick to where it like kind of points at the end, and it kind of just reminds you of like a Joker in a way.
Points at the
end. Yeah, it's like pointy at the end of her mouth.
Oh, I guess. Nah, I didn't think that.
I'll find a good panel for it.
So I like the different art styles. Yeah, the only one I like her regular stuff, I couldn't put like my finger on it of what I think it reminded me of, but Mike Allred is, I think, pretty on the
maybe like a Joel Jones.
Yeah, that's her? A good one too.
That's what I was thinking.
I think a lot of the stuff in her, when she's doing, it's like Kate with her dad doing Batwoman-esque things. That feels more like Andrea Sorrentino to me. And some of the Batwoman action turns into Andrea Sorrentino stuff. But I think that's because of the Dave Stewart coloring a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then there's stuff that's like flashback, which feels like definitely the most drastically different. But I was like, that's got to be Jorge Fornes or something. Or like Tyler Boss.
Gavin Guidry, maybe.
Gavin Guidry, whatever his name is.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Like the lipstick.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, it's got like a little horn there on the corner.
Yeah, it looks like, or like she's got like a vampire kind of vibe, mm-hmm. You know. But her pale skin works really well when she's in costume, but it's just kind of funny when she's just walking around super pale.
Yeah,
around, like, damn. Around normally. Like people,
it didn't bother me that much. Now that I think about
really?
It.
Really, I don't know. It doesn't like bother me, but I just noticed it.
I think,
but yeah, there'll be different coloring styles like on the same page. You know?
Like this page where it looks like there's some, what's that artist's name? The one that works with Bendis a lot?
Mazzy Kelly?
No. What? No.
Oming.
No. I'm forgetting people's names right now, man.
Oh.
I'm washed. The guy that always is like the cover that looks exactly like this.
like the, not Alibi, the fucking, the Jessica Jones stuff?
Yeah. Who's the Jessica Jones artist? That, no. The guy who did the covers for those.
Yeah. What's her?
It's like something, David Mack.
David Mack.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like in, he did like those.
He does a lot of the watercolor and he did like Echo. Created Echo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Anyway, yeah, I'm really impressed by just like the different art styles kind of bouncing back and forth a lot. I also like this Alice in Wonderland inspired like character or villain. I think it's kind of an interesting choice.
It's really just kind of like how she dresses. There's not much more to
that. She calls herself Alice.
Alice dresses like, I don't know, someone out of that world. But yeah. Everything else is just...
Yeah,
there's really nothing she does that feels like a part of that.
No.
Really? It's just she just happens to be the leader of this religion or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just... Yeah, mainly the way she dresses, but yeah.
And I guess this cult or whatever... like stab Batwoman in the heart at one point.
Yeah, it's some continuity thing that we don't really know about, but we get filled in.
Yeah.
They had like stabbed her in the heart, but she didn't die.
Yeah.
She got saved by Batman, I think.
Something like that. Is Batwoman normally strapped, or was that just for this issue?
I want to say she normally has non-lethal like guns that she uses.
But she
I don't know where she keeps them though, because she's like jumping around and stuff, and we don't see like a gun holstered anywhere, I don't think. It's not one of her pouches.
And she had it in this issue because...
Well, she shoots her, and that's like the end of this issue. But then the beginning of the second issue, we find out it's like a gas pellet bullet thing.
Uh-huh. It's supposed to knock her out or something?
Yeah. It's like she uses non-lethal stuff.
Oh.
But it's the gas like knocks her out.
I don't know if it was like a... like Spider-Noir... kind of thing. Like,
just shoot everybody.
Or Simon Baz kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just has a gun for some reason.
Seems like it's helpful.
No.
But issue two, the bullet Batwoman shot was a gas bullet thing. Batwoman steals Alice away from the rest of the cult, and she tries questioning about the cult's interest in her as Batwoman, but Alice keeps acting like the character Alice. She's a little loopy. But then Alice poisons Batwoman with like a hidden razor that she was holding in her mouth. So I don't know how she didn't get poisoned by it, but she manages to escape. Batwoman does while tripping out. And then her dad saves her, but Alice is kind of chasing after them, finds them, and some monster men show up. Like a werewolf and I don't know, some other like monster creatures.
Yeah.
Which is a little silly.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this book? You know?
Yeah. I'm like, where does the werewolf come in on this?
Like, there's literal monsters, which is, like, a fun, you know, romp, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I think Alice had that razor blade in her mouth, and she didn't get poisoned because she probably already had the antidote.
Ooh, probably, yeah.
You know? So, then when she cut Batwoman without her noticing, she's fucked.
That was kind of creative.
Yeah.
I've seen something like that before. You can see some of the coloring that Dave Stewart brings over to a lot of Sorrentino books right here, where, like, there's, like, little action panels that are colored differently. Yeah. And like deeply red.
So good.
So I saw that.
Like, this is probably good. Like his most impressive work, I think.
Yeah, the coloring, like just, there's a panel that.
Because there's so much variety, really.
There really is. And there's a panel in this towards the end that I'm like, just kind of blows my mind. But the way that he colors Batwoman in her suit is really cool. Because it's mainly just like a black and red suit. But there's a lot of depth and detail to the coloring that makes it, you see all the wrinkles and where all the like lighting is and where the shines of the suit are. So it's really cool.
Definitely.
Renee Montoya's in this. She sees Renee in a psychedelic episode and we find out that they dated.
I think I knew that.
I don't know if I knew that. That's cool.
Anyway.
I wonder if there's comics on that relationship or if it's like new to this book.
Surely. Maybe. But also, there's like a flashback or whatever, to Renee as the question.
Yeah.
But I thought she became the question, like, at the end of 52.
See, that's what I thought, but this is before this. Is it before?
Yeah.
It is. When did 52 come out?
Like before the new 52?
This isn't new 52, though. This is 2010.
Right. But new 52 is like 2012. Renee Montoya became the question at the end of that.
Oh, interesting.
So I guess at some other point in continuity, she was also the question.
Oh, okay.
Because this is a flashback at this point in time, which is like 2009 or something.
Right, right. Yeah, I think we just assumed that that was it. I mean, they definitely set her up with like an origin in 52.
An origin of?
Like Renee Montoya, the question? Yeah.
Yeah, so this came out in 2010, yeah. I don't know.
I'm not anytime a historian or anything.
I mean, we're kind of piecing it together as we go, but also forgetting it as we go. They were pretty bad at it.
We've probably forgotten way more than we've learned about comics.
Oh, no, dude. 52 came out in like 2006.
See, I'm not crazy.
I'll cut that out.
Yeah, no, I can leave it in. You can cut it out. It's fine.
Dude, why would they have a book called 52 and then the new 52 come out later?
That's because people like the 52.
I don't know.
I don't know if people did. How many people do you think started and finished 52 compared to how many people started?
Hundreds of thousands, maybe?
Finished it?
Oh, finished it?
Yeah.
Nah, like...
like maybe 6K?
I'd people? Say like maybe 13 or something. There's no. there's big fans out there.
Okay, you know? Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know. If a weekly comic that...
Weekly felt, as well. I forgot about that.
That came out that felt like it was like an event almost.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be kind of excited about that?
52 weeks in a row?
Yeah. And it's not like a main storyline and all these spinoffs. It's right. Like one, it's two, like,
this
three.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool idea. Well, I think it's novel now because that like doesn't happen.
So they had like a 52.
But remember like double shipping and how exhausting that was sometimes?
Yeah. But that was like one character. Or one, like...
Yeah, it'd be lots of different series, but I guess like one big event.
Because like in 52, it wasn't like every character, every issue, you know?
Right. It's just kind of like a... Yeah. I think I'd be into it. If they did it again, I'd check it out.
Was Black Adam in that?
In 52?
Yeah.
He's a huge character in
okay,
that.
I couldn't remember.
What do you mean? Maybe what other Black Adam have you read?
Maybe... Was he in JSA?
No. Yeah, maybe.
Because didn't we read JSA because Black Adam was coming out?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to remember, like, because Black Adam could be in other things that we've read, you know?
Not a lot.
He's
not even the Shazam that we read.
Could have been.
He could have been, yeah.
Because we've read, like, more than one, I think.
More than one Shazam?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
We read the Shazam by the Bone guy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Didn't we do the...
We didn't do the Jeff Johns one, I don't think.
What about the fucking... the artist that we like?
That narrows it down.
That was at Comic-Con and you embarrassed yourself? Doc Shaner?
We didn't read his Shazam. You know how I know that?
I think we've done more than one Shazam, though. Oh. Ah, fuck. This is hard.
Dude, yeah, we're starting to forget everything that we've ever read, I think. Or we're both really tired.
Shazam Fury of the Gods, that's different?
That was the Bone one.
Oh, no, that's a movie. Hold on. Great. 2023, yeah, dude.
We read two?
Meet the Captain?
What is that?
That's the fucking book that we did. That's the Mark Waid one. Didn't we do that?
Did we read a Mark Waid Shazam?
Yeah, I had the tiger.
They all have the tiger, don't they?
Holy shit.
I've completely forgotten this book.
This is my favorite part of
it. If it exists.
Just like reading a book and be like, I haven't read that, dude.
It's going to happen eventually, dude. We do this shit every week and we read single issues on top of it.
2023 is when it came out. The power fucking... Yeah, dude.
Can you just search our episodes on
Meet the Captain?
What is that?
Dan Mora was on it too. Remember this?
Oh, we did read that one. He rides a dinosaur in the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're right.
I forgot.
Okay, I'll take that L. You should have bet on it.
I was in that confident.
I was so confident we only read one. How do we get to Shazam?
That got a 4.2.
It's not terrible.
Fucking forgettable.
Yeah, that for sure, yeah. I like the bone one, I think, better, but why did we read Shazam twice?
Movies?
We didn't read one for each movie, did we?
Fury of the Gods came out for one.
Maybe yeah.
The other one.
Maybe I just like saw that it was like from the bone guy and I was like excited about it.
Because I think the first Shazam came out before the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there was a reason.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason would have been. But anyway, maybe that's what we read when Black Adam came out. Or maybe it was like an Eisner nom for art because of Dan Mora.
Oh, yeah, okay. That
that's probably sense. What it was.
Yeah, because the Jeff Smith one we did.
Jeff Smith has his name, yeah.
For that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha.
Cool. Issue 3, Daniel.
This is exhausting.
We are not staying on track this episode. So it turns out the Monster Men, led by a werewolf named Abbott.
Real quick, sorry.
Okay.
Alice, she talks.
She sure does.
And she's got black speech bubbles.
Uh-huh.
And what does she sound like that necessitates that?
Sounds like Alice.
Alice?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a black speech bubble
type. I think the vibes were just there for it to be black.
Mm.
It helps me out because I'm like, oh, this is Alice talking.
I guess. They also have like a little tail that points to their mouth.
Maybe it's, well, like, what's interesting is that the lettering is kind of a fancier font than the like typical comics lettering.
Yeah.
So maybe she like talks kind of fancy. I just don't know what would make it black.
Because when I think of black, I think of like Null or something.
Right.
Or like Venom, maybe.
But then when those word balloons are colored black, the like lettering is kind of scary too. And so that makes you think like a scary voice.
I don't know.
But this one's like, it's an interesting choice for sure.
It's like they're trying to make her scarier when she's not really that scary.
No, she's not scary. She's just kind of like her version of like a Joker, kind of.
I suppose. Sorry. Issue 3, then?
Issue 3, the Monster Men, led by a werewolf named Abbott, is actually there to help Batwoman. We don't really know why. But Kate is saved, and after she recovers, she goes to the GCPD ball. And she flirts with Captain Maggie of the GCPD Major Crimes Unit, and they hit it off. But Abbott, in human form, is also there at the ball, and he tells Kate that Alice is looking to blow up Gotham to restart the cult or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we learn that Abbott turned on the cult when Batwoman's prophecy of death had not come true when she got stabbed in the heart. So he became a leader of the rebellious group, the True Believers. And Kate calls her dad and Alice picks up and Kate's dad is held hostage by Alice.
So Abbott is the werewolf guy.
He's werewolf.
He sends off Batwoman with her dad because she's like drugged or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he's like a very small part, it seems like.
In this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like in this issue or whatever. But he's talking. He doesn't talk much when he's a werewolf, but then he's like a person for a second.
Uh-huh.
And they just like throw in there that he's British.
Yeah.
They're like, the last thing he says is, keep her safe, mate. And I was like, he just didn't have to be British. Just like,
is that British or is that like Australian?
Mate, both.
Could be both.
And it was just odd that he felt that he needed to add this kind of like extra characteristic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's cool enough that he's like a werewolf and he has a rebellious cult group.
Yeah.
With other monster people. How do those other people turn into monsters? Why is he a monster? Do we know?
He might not be like werewolf specifically. He just might be like a. Yeah, wolf man.
Because there's like a squid person and there's...
Yeah, that's gross.
There's other animals. And what I really like about just the layout of the page is that when we see these like cryptid monster people, the layout of the page feels like an old monster comic.
Yeah.
Just because like the panels are spooky or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy that quite a bit.
Is one supposed to be like a lizard man kind of thing?
Yeah, I think one's a lizard man.
He's got like a tail.
Yeah. I will say that I think him as a werewolf is like too, he's not like furry enough He looks like too clean.
Yeah.
Werewolf wise. If that's what he's supposed to be.
I mean, he's just kind of like a short haired dog.
You know? But there's at the GCPD ball, there's a playful conversation that they have while they dance with like Kate and Maggie.
Oh. Yeah, and who's Maggie?
Maggie's the girl that she dances with that's also in a suit. And they're like, look at us, we're both in suits and we're both a lesbian.
Oh, yeah. Isn't she like a cop?
She's a cop. Yeah. Right. She's a head of the major GCPD crime unit, major crimes unit.
Yeah.
And I like their conversation because we learn a lot about this character just in the time that we see her, even though she doesn't show up again. But I think it was just done well, both visually, because there's like the music notes and stuff around them.
And I guess we learn at some point that woman's like a part of a prophecy of some sort.
It's the prophecy of the cult that Alice is leading.
Right.
Yeah.
But like that woman's been around like a couple years at this point.
Right.
But it's like this ancient prophecy, I imagine, that she's just a part of.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know much about what the prophecy, like where it came from. We just know that she's a part of it and she's kind of in the middle of it
for some reason. Yeah. And I just thought that was kind of dumb.
Yeah, you just kind of got to roll with it, I think.
Yeah.
But issue 4. So Alice gets into a military base where she hijacks a plane and fills it with a chemical that Alice is going to blanket over Gotham that turns into cyanide when direct human contact is made. And so Abbott, luckily, is able to get one of his monster men to pilot a second plane to chase down Alice's plane. And Batwoman jumps onto Alice's plane. And then they fight. Alice is almost thrown off of the plane, but Batwoman grabs hold of her. And before she drops, Alice says, "You have our father's eyes," and then stabs Kate's hand. And Alice falls to her death. Great line. Cool twist. Except for the fact that you can't see her fucking eyes. Her eyes are whited out. This whole book.
Good point.
Why was that the line that you chose to...
You know what I thought of?
What?
When I read that, I was like, her sister was Batwoman. And what was her sister? The High Madam Bro. Grow up.
The leader of the religion of the crime. Grow up. Yeah, that's...
They called her like the High Madam the entire time.
Yeah.
High Madam Alice. I guess the High Madam last, changes or the whatever. The
last leader was High Madam, I guess.
Yeah.
For religion. Religion of crime.
I just said this
and funny. Her sister. That's funny. That's a go-to video.
Oh, yeah. I feel like in this issue, there was like a lot of like borderline nip slips with Alice.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Like that double page spread where it's like circular.
Right, that was a cool spread.
There should be a nipple there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, we're close to the nipple.
I wasn't like looking for it. I just noticed. And that's a really cool spread right there. Where it's like the cape is like the outline of the cape are panels itself.
Like this one?
Panel borders. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's pretty neat.
This is, really creative spreads. But I do think they get a little bit confusing as far as the continuity of like what's happening.
Totally.
In the choreography. So, but it's totally worth it because of, like, I don't think I've ever seen a spread like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's got to be super fun to...
Feels very, like,
yin and yang. Like, when you're that good, you can just, like, make up double-page spreads.
Yeah. It makes, like, a whole yin and yang type effect thing. That's cool.
Did you see Batwoman's back tattoo?
Yeah. That's a big tattoo for what that is.
Big-ass, just icon star.
Big star.
No, normally you get one that's, like, 2 inches big.
Apparently, it's, like, a nautical star.
Yeah, I've
heard it's that. In the back matter of like what the star is. I think it's military related. I could be wrong.
I've only seen like douchebags have it, but it is like very interesting.
Nautical star tattoo meaning guidance, protection, and safe passage for sailors. She was never a sailor. Or wait,
was she in the Navy? She went to West Point.
I thought it was an Army.
That's Army, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she wanted to be a sailor. Today, it often represents finding one's path in life, good luck, and in some contexts, LGBTQ plus identity.
Huh.
There's layers to this shit, Daniel.
I don't know. I think it just...
The gays overtook the star?
That's good to repurpose something douchey.
Yeah. It's bold. It's a bold choice.
Normally, there's never one. You know, it's like, there'd be like two.
two stars.
Yeah, people would have two for some reason. Mm-hmm. They could have like, you know, both shoulders or like I've seen them on elbows.
Why do you think? Because when I saw it, I'm like, I'm just reminded of skate culture.
Yeah.
Was there like a skate brand that had that star or?
Not specifically, but maybe it was like a. Maybe it was it was like a common sticker that you can
Tony Hawk?
Put in like, yeah, Tony Hawk's Underground.
Mm, that's probably what it was.
And I think that was like a sticker that you actually got that you could put on like Guitar Hero, like guitars.
Oh, yeah. Does that mean we're all gay?
I think so.
Oh, man.
If that's what it means, I guess so. I guess it is.
I guess I got to wear that.
I can't fight it.
Yeah.
Can't deny it now.
I do really enjoy this page where she's going to like, she's gearing up and she has all of her gadgets and gizmos like organized on this table where there's inserts for the specific gadgets and gizmos. Here, let me see.
Oh, yeah. Like the Wes Anderson, like.
There's kind of a Wes Anderson top-down view. But I like that she carved little inserts into this table so that you know where those things are supposed to go.
Oh, she's got ADHD.
Yeah. If I was Batwoman, all that shit would be just in a pile somewhere, I feel like. So
you ever see those like 3D prints that people do of like the grids for the drawers?
Yeah.
And so you make like little like things and people get like too into it.
Right.
I just kind of like having a messy drawer.
Me too.
And I just kind of remember where shit is.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little puzzle.
Like it's mostly chords. I'm not going to make like a thing for every chord, you know?
Right. I had to fill out some international travel information. I need my passport. And I remembered that I had dropped it behind my desk like weeks ago. And like my desk, my desk in
it's
general.
It's messy, but you know where it is.
Dude, I knew where it actually was. I was like, oh yeah, my passport's behind my desk.
That's where I keep it.
Yeah. It's because like my shit's so messy in my office that I like turned and I like knocked it off of whatever it was like.
If someone broke in your house trying to steal your passport, they're not finding it.
Yeah. They have to essentially clean my office to steal anything out of there.
They got to fucking vacuum.
Yeah, see what's in there.
They got to pull out the desk.
Pretty much.
Get behind there.
Yeah.
But if you have a super organized drawer in a specific spot for your passport, that shit's gone in a minute.
It's not even a specific spot. It's just where I put it the last time, and I just remember where I put it. And then I remember where I was too lazy to go get it.
I think Sarah's like too smart for me because she just kind of handles everything because she just does things right, you know?
Yep.
And so, because she knows everything, I've become less
competent.
less concerned because I know she just has the answers for stuff.
That's probably not.
I don't know where my passport is. She does, though. I've become that husband.
You become like, I don't know anything. Ask the boss.
If she dies, I don't know how to pay the mortgage, you know? So, there's that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do most things.
If she becomes terminal, she's going to have to teach you everything.
Yeah. And she's a sugar mama. So it's just, I'm just dependent now.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Yeah. What are we on? Issue 4? Issue 5?
5.
Yeah, issue 5. So that was kind of like the first arc. And there's like a 3-issue other arc. But this one is like more flashback. But it's 20 years ago. We get the backstory of Kate and her twin, Elizabeth, who ends up being Alice, I guess. And we see their early years with their military dad moving from base to base, and they have to move a bunch. But one year on her birthday, Kate and Elizabeth go out to go get ice cream with their mom, and they get abducted by some militia people. Kate's dad manages to save Kate, but her sister and her mom were already executed. So we get like this crazy backstory. And I would have bet a lot of money that this was drawn by Jorge Fornes or Tyler Boss.
What did Gavin Gidju do? Did he do The Closet?
He did The Closet.
What did we know him from?
Was that him on the Santa book? Santa Murder Book?
Yeah, Santa Murder Book. Good title.
What was it called?
The Deviant?
The Deviant, yeah. That's him on The Deviant, I'm pretty sure.
It also could be like a Chris Samney. Did you see that?
Chris Samney could be there.
Yeah, this is
there's
like
a little bit of Martin Morazzo, or not Martin Morazzo, Marcos Martin.
Maybe like an earlier Sean Phillips, where like the inks aren't quite like neater.
I don't see that as much.
No.
But I see what you're
saying.
But this
like almost like simplistic style in a way.
Yeah, more less detailed.
There's not like a lot of lines in like the face. It's right. Just the right shape so you know.
Yeah, the coloring is like fairly basic. It's supposed to be like a simpler time, which I think they portray that like really well.
Right.
Because she's younger, she has this twin.
Like colors aren't quite blended as much.
Yeah.
It's like mostly the flats. This is like one of my favorite styles.
Me too.
Like when I see this, it's just like
some clicks in my head.
It's eye candy for me.
Yeah, you know, I love it. I totally agree.
I feel like I read books better when it's this kind of artwork.
Yeah, well, I think there's something so powerful about nailing this style of just kind of simplistic art that creates a better flow for, I think, your mind, because you're able to process kind of what you're looking at a lot easier without having to appreciate some of the finer, you know, hyper realistic details or whatever.
That's probably true, yeah.
But it's like your brain kind of moves through pages a lot better just because what's happening and the pacing that your brain can handle.
It's like a less is more kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
100%. And I almost feel like I could do it, even though I couldn't.
That also, I think, plays a part in it. Like, I could draw this face.
Yeah.
Or this car that you drew. But yeah, I totally agree. I think whenever I see something like this and I can't ever put my finger on like, why someone gets it, but when they get it, you know.
Gets what?
Just like they get the style and what it's like
yeah.
good at and what the benefits of it are. You know what I mean? So I really like this.
And they're twins.
I didn't know that. I mean, she obviously looked different as Alice.
How do you look at Alice's face and you're like, not notice like, hey, that's my face.
Well, she died when she was like 20 years ago.
No, she didn't.
She thought that she had died.
She thought that, but then she saw Alice as an adult and she didn't see her face, you know?
Look at you 20 years ago and tell me that you would think that you would recognize yourself.
If I had a twin, I feel like we'd look pretty similar.
We look pretty similar-ish.
I don't think so.
I don't see it, but no one sees it in their person.
Other people are like, oh, you're brothers. But I'm like, I don't know. He looks like, I think it's just the hair. You know, I don't think our faces are that similar. I feel like I look more like Carter than I look like you.
I think I'm adopted.
You might be. It'd be such a middle child thing to do. Just be adopted.
Only the middle child's adopted?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
And the second one, if anything.
Yeah.
But no, like.
I don't. How old are you? You're
like,
almost 30?
Like, she was like, oh, you have our father's eyes. Like, you both have your father's eyes. You're twins.
Yeah. Also, I would never recognize somebody off their eyes. Or I wouldn't be like, oh, you. I don't think I'd ever say like, oh, you have your father's eyes, unless your father's eyes are fucking weird.
Yeah.
And they're like two different colors.
Yeah. But Alice knew that Batwoman was his sister.
Well, I guess her dad has like green eyes. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
So maybe I would recognize that. Does Batwoman have green eyes?
She does. I guess so.
I'm learning so much.
I don't know much about guns. I think you know a little bit more, but there's a panel where like her dad and some other dude are just like firing like AR-15s or M6s or something.
Which panel?
It's like the third page. Like here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the barrel be like hot? Like really hot?
Not that part of the barrel, no.
No?
Well, I would say that I wouldn't even consider that the barrel. The barrel is like the skinnier part. Okay. But that's where you normally hold the, like, I've shot whatever that is. I think it's an M16, but.
M16, that's something. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's where you put your hand.
When I shot it, I had, like, the vertical grip.
Oh, okay.
Which was helpful, but
which is not
I don't think that would get hot.
Okay. Gotcha. There's this part where, you know, dad comes back and there's an opportunity for them to move to Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids come home from school and there's a moving van in their front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go into the house, they storm in because they're like, we're fucking moving. Mm-hmm. And then the mom's like with the box, like, we have to talk. And I'm like, this can come up like the day before.
I would hate our parents for forever, I think. I was like, what do you mean we're moving to Belgium?
Like, and not only like moving, but moving that abruptly is crazy.
Across the fucking ocean.
You're moving all this stuff to another country.
Yeah,
it's like you pack your clothes and that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in Belgium? You have, right?
Yeah, it's pretty sick. Mm. Or I liked the area that I was in. That was probably one of the places I liked the most, yeah. Because there was like...
Just ever?
of that trip that I went on.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know if I would necessarily go to like Paris or anything, but like Belgium was cool because it was like kind of in the middle of like a lot of cool mm-hmm. places. Like it was like 2 hour train ride away.
Right.
And they had a lot of French comics there. And that's it didn't cool. really seem like there was like one language that everyone was speaking. So it's like, I don't know. I just went into like a comic shop that kind of like blew my mind because there's just so much. There's like French comics and like Dutch comics and shit. And
ooh, Dutch comics.
And there's like a little bit of like American stuff.
That's cool.
And like nothing in English.
Dude, there's like no, obviously, American Western comic book stores in Japan. There's like the one that I'm going to go to. It's called Verse Comics. Looking for like.
I seen that video.
Yeah, I'm going to that one.
Nice.
But I have to go out of my fucking way.
Oh, really? Like a lot?
Like, it's like an hour by train, I guess.
Oh.
Just so it's not near anything else that we're going.
You like go and it's just shit we have here.
Yeah.
It's going to be in Japanese, wouldn't it?
It said American Western comics. So I think they might be in English. If they're not, then.
It'd be kind of wild.
Whatever.
To have like a shop like out of the way just for it to be in English, you know? Mm-hmm. Surely it's like
they probably have Japanese and like manga. I mean, there's a lot of manga stores and manga bookstores and stuff.
Of course, obviously. It'd just be funny like a Superman comic with just like
just Japanese
kanji or whatever. Like,
yeah, I think that'd be cool.
We'll
see. I mean, they probably do have that there, but I assume they have some English stuff there too.
Right. Because
it's called Verse Comics outside. You know what I mean? In English.
Ah, yeah.
But it is like. Just a little bit out of way of where we're going to be going already. So hopefully I understand how buses and trains work enough to be able to do that somewhat efficiently.
Just Google Maps mostly. And then they'll...
that's what people are saying, but I don't know.
Well, cause like when we were in like Belgium, like we didn't know any of the words, you know, we were just kind of like holding up our phone. Like that's this word, mm-hmm. you know, we got to go there. Okay. You know?
Well, I think if you could figure it out, I could probably figure it out.
Also, Sarah, who is smart.
Oh, okay. You know, damn it.
There's also some color coordination involved as well.
Sarah, want to go with us?
No.
She wouldn't?
No. I've always talked about wanting to go, but I don't think it's interested her quite to Japan? As much. Yeah.
Oh. I'll convince her. Issue 6, Daniel. It's now 7 years ago. Kate is an adult in the army. Kate gets called to talk to Colonel Reyes, who is investigating an allegation against Kate of being gay, which violates Article 125 of Uniform Code of Military Justice. Oh no, you're gay. And so Kate is given the chance to like convince him that's a liar, that it's like not true or whatever, and he seems pretty chill about it. But she decides to just tell the truth and she leaves the army. But now lost with like a meaningless mission to serve in her life, she ends up dating Renee Montoya for a little bit, and then one night defends herself from getting mugged. She runs into Batman and decided that her new mission in life is to be like a vigilante to help people that way. And then in the present, Kate has her blood and Alice's blood tested to confirm if they are related or not. And then she tells the monster people to fuck off. There's like a quick just little panel or page of her being like, get away from me. But I think this origin has done really well.
Well, she hasn't really like run into Batman. She just like fights off this mugger.
And he's like there?
And then Batman just there just in case.
Yeah. Which he got there real quick.
He just was there already. It seemed like.
I guess he was just there already.
And like he helps her up and his hand and her hand are colored differently.
Yes, dude.
Which is like, oh, it's been moved.
Oh, whoops.
But yeah, they're also like.
I fuck with that.
Displays
so...
leather really well with yeah. like his hand. But yeah, that is fun.
I fuck with that panel so hard.
Because, it feels like Looney Tunes back in action.
Yeah, it really does. He's like helping up Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
But I think this that was
like Jessica Rabbit practically.
Yeah, I just think that was so clever because when you see Batman, he's colored more detailed and like the folds of the cape are lighted differently. But then like her jacket is just kind of the one color.
Yeah.
In that retro comic style. I just think that this whole scene has done really well, and I was really excited just about how creative it was, subtly, mm-hmm. in my mind. So, and it's cool that Batman doesn't say anything this whole time either. He just kind of like holds out his hand, helps her up, and then he leaves. Yeah. Very, very cool.
People are calling her Candy at West Point, and that seemed like an incorrect nickname for her, you know?
Yeah, doesn't seem like the personality of someone that we named Candy.
Yeah.
Not a very, like, peppy person, I don't think.
Right. They say Hua in this?
Like, I think it's Hua. Hua, yeah.
Isn't that Hoorah, though?
No, I think it's a different thing.
Ah. Not like a...
Hoorah. No, I think some people...
It's like, Hua. Hua. I don't know, like people like,
yeah, saying that. I noticed that too.
Hoorah.
I think traditionally it's hoorah, but maybe people think that's corny, so they cut out the R.
I guess.
I don't know, but it's, they give credit to a dude that advised on the story, which I think is cool, who's...
Oh, yeah, like a military dude.
Yeah, Lieutenant Daniel Choi, for his generous assistance in research for this issue.
Nice.
Which I think is cool. Cool little shout out. But yeah, I like this. I like that she stood on business. Like, she didn't, like, tell the lie when the guy was clearly being like, you could just tell me that it's not true, and I'll let you be an officer or whatever. And she's like, well, I just can't do it. So,
yeah.
Pretty cool. And then issue 7. Oh, actually, one other thing. She hates her stepmom. But I think she's, like, trying her best.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like one of those stepmoms that sucks.
Yeah, she doesn't seem bitchy or anything. She seems, like, empathetic to the fact that her mom is dead.
Yeah.
Like, and Kate's dad gives the stepmom the ring that Kate's mom had.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's sentimental and stuff, and nice that she, like, appreciates that, you know?
Isn't that also, like, passed down to him almost?
The ring?
Yeah.
I think so.
So it's almost like...
Yeah. When I was watching Click, the dad, the new dad in that movie... Because, like, Adam Sandler's character is, like, too focused in work when he's in autopilot mode.
Speedo Torpedo?
Yeah, Speedo Torpedo. Wow, good job. I'm like, this guy's nice. I feel like he's a good dad. He's a stepdad, and he's like, fuck you. And he, like, kicks him in the nuts a bunch. And I'm like, he didn't deserve that. He's there.
And then he, like, plays, and then he's just driving in pain. Mm-hmm. Isn't it, like, the dude from, like, Lord of the Rings? Like, Sam?
I don't know enough about Lord of the Rings to confirm that.
There's Frodo and then Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's face. Is it that guy?
I couldn't. I very honestly couldn't think of Sam's face.
Wow. Right now. Yeah, I'm not big on Lord of the Rings either, but just everyone listening, just know I'm right. Nathan's wrong. Again.
I'm not saying that you're right or wrong. I'm just saying I couldn't tell you if that's the case. Jonah Hill's in that movie for a little bit. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
he's like the fat son when he's grown up.
He's like eating the Twinkies or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, when'd you get so big? He's like, maybe I wouldn't be so big if you took me to fucking whatever. And I think he's funny in that. Issue 7, Daniel. 4 years ago now, Kate is doing her own one-woman vigilante stuff with stolen tech from her dad's military base. Kate's dad confronts her about this and decides to help her when Kate says that, like, this is her purpose. And so Kate trains, like, overseas for a few years for some reason, which gives her dad time to create this, like, high-tech base for them to work out of. And then he also creates a Batwoman suit for her. And then in the present, Kate confronts her dad for lying about Elizabeth's death. And he says that it turns out that the dead girl that she thought was her sister was just somebody else that got executed in the same room. Also redhead next to her mom.
Crazy coincidence.
And so... Kate's dad was like, I never told you because I thought you had made your peace with it. And also, I've been looking for her ever since. And Kate's like, I never made peace with it. And then she, like, cuts ties with her dad. But what's funny about this issue is that the dad really switches up from being mad at her about the vigilanteism to deciding to help in, like, a couple pages.
It takes, like, a page.
Yeah. Like, a page to be like, well, I guess if you're serious about it.
It's like, I don't have purpose. This is the purpose.
I guess if you're serious about it, I can get this guy that knows how to make some high tech things.
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate her being, like, trained to this sort of stuff, but it's just kind of funny that, like, she, like, started, you know, doing something. She probably could have been on to something bigger, you know, like, with some of the, you know, I don't know, gangs she was taking down or whatever. Yeah. But no, he's just like, yeah, drop everything and go travel for 2 years. And
yeah, why? She's already
and
doing
then just
some
come
stuff.
Back.
Yeah.
But it feels inconsequential to us because it's just. A double page spread.
Yeah, it's one training montage.
Yeah. But anyway.
So that is the book. So we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We got a variant cover gallery.
Yeah. Dude, there's a J.G. Jones cover.
Ooh, maybe that's what you're thinking of.
They look very similar in their styles, I feel like.
Yeah. I think J.G. Jones, this cover is like a little bit more realistic somehow.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
But a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah, we got a lot of J.H. We got another J.H. Williams cover, some Adam Hughes, which is pretty cool. I tend to like his covers quite a bit. We got a Jock cover. And Alex Ross, which I think is one of his better ones, to be honest.
No, super sick.
Just like the reds, I guess, in the back of the cape is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get some bonus material, which is some like character sheets and rough design choices.
Scripts.
We get a Kate Kane, just like regular person look. When we see the star on her back. Mm-hmm. It's not as big in this, I feel like. I feel like that was an appropriate size.
Yeah, that seems okay. Before it was like...
But the one who was like a quarter of her back, I felt like...
it was like a half foot.
It was crazy. In this like character sheet of just Kate, they say that she's really into alternative and edgy music. Ooh. Which is kind of fun. I feel like it was probably just to inform the way that her character looks, but I'm like, it's kind of a silly thing to put in a character sheet.
Yeah, I mean, she's got tattoos and heavy eyeshadow or whatever, You know. She's punk rock.
And then we have scripts to basically uncolored pages. And we see that one where they have the double page where they're connected by the legs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The yin and yang looking one. And that's pretty cool. And that's it. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I give it like a love it of maybe like a cookies and cream. If you add like something kind of like cookies and cream, you add like mini Reese's cups or something in there, just something kind of random, but just like good things. Two good things probably work together. You know what I mean?
Like an odd mixture that for some reason works.
Yeah. Like maybe you haven't seen done before, but then why hasn't someone thought about it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, this was cool. Like, I don't know if it was that intriguing for me, just kind of overall. Like, it doesn't feel like it's that definitive when it comes to just
her,
you know, the best Batwoman thing or whatever. It is like, it does serve like a good purpose for us, like, not knowing much about Batwoman or anything, because there is like that origin aspect.
Yeah.
And I guess like where this starts is kind of a good way to flash back to that.
Mm hmm.
But it's not like all these compact books are just all going to be origin stuff. It's like the more celebrated story arcs.
More widely regarded stuff.
You know, so I think that was kind of what I was more expecting. But it just kind of feels like the start to something bigger. I'm not sure how long in Detective Comics it's like about Batwoman. But it is like... You know, good, and the art's incredible.
It feels like the arc before this was also a Batwoman arc, maybe.
Oh, just based off of how this was written?
Yeah, because they were like, you got stabbed in the heart and then you didn't die, and that was crazy.
I mean, like, yeah, this isn't like the first appearance of Batwoman.
So right. Yeah, no, I know that.
And I mean, I guess it wasn't like a ton. It wasn't like, I don't think any recent reboot in this time. It was like almost leading up to New 52.
Yeah.
So some time had passed, and maybe there even was like a Batwoman solo series.
Mm-hmm.
But Detective Comics is just where they're able to fit some more stuff for her.
Yeah.
But what do you rate it?
I think I like this more than you, which is cool.
Why?
I don't know. I think it feels like a better, more well-rounded kind of book as for this character. I see why it's in the DC compact stuff.
Uh-huh.
Just because it's art style, I think is cool. They're obviously like, we're doing a lot to separate itself from the other 850 issues of Detective Comics, which I think is cool. Mm-hmm. Probably very hard to do. And felt kind of bold. I think the art definitely carries a lot of it, but I still enjoyed the Alice as like a character, some of the origin stuff.
I almost wish that like
the monster even, stuff.
Even though
was
I
funny.
Liked the origin like issues, I wish it had been like 7 issues of origin. Like an Alice arc.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah.
Like just kind of have that wrapped up.
Yeah, I do feel
clearly
like
she doesn't die.
Yeah, you don't think so?
No,
probably not.
Are you fucking kidding
she
me?
She goes back. Yeah, I feel like we could have seen a little bit more Alice. I wish we had a little bit more time for her to breathe because she's only in the first 4 issues and they barely even talk to each other in like 2 of the issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really just like 3.5.
Yeah,
because she shows up at the end of 1.
Right. So, but as far as what I'd rate it, I think maybe 2 ice creams that are like 2 scoops, but 2 very different ice creams that for some reason work.
Mm, yeah.
So maybe I'd go like a strawberry and like a peanut butter or something like that.
A peanut butter ice cream?
Yeah.
Like it's peanut butter flavor?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
And it's like
a little PB&J action.
A little, little untraditional, maybe like the strawberry ice cream and a peanut butter ice cream, but it's like whatever, it works.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
What do you think it's rated on League of Comic Geeks?
Good question. I think people like this. I'd say that they rated it above a 4. Probably a 4.3.
4.5.
Really? Okay, cool.
The same ranking as Daredevil Yellow.
That's a little... Well...
How do you feel about that?
I don't know, because I wasn't like... I do think that the art carries both of those books.
Yeah.
So I think that's valid.
Yeah, so...
They're both origins.
What's more important... Art or writing?
Art.
What?
Easily.
Really?
There's a lot of...
So you'd read a shit story with good art?
Yeah. Okay. To be fair, I wouldn't read anything that has shit in either of those 2 categories, I don't think.
Okay.
Like if it was shit story, the good art only, I think, gets you so far.
Okay.
If it's a good story, the shitty art turns me off way faster than a good story would.
Okay. Okay,
as far as how far I'll go with a story, if it has good art, I'll go further.
Okay. Huh.
But I think art's way more important.
That could be a whole podcast, honestly.
Yeah. But you think art's more, or a story's more important?
1000%.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not gonna like reread something for the art. Like, I read comics for plot.
Yeah.
Character development. You know, maybe twist here and there. Something that's because it is.
Why don't
like,
you go
it,
read fucking Stephen King then?
Huh?
Why don't you go read some Stephen King ass book then?
I don't want to read a book.
We read it every fucking week, Daniel.
That read comics, but yeah. What Stephen King comic?
Well, like I'm saying, go read a Stephen King like novel if you just like the story and characters.
Well, I still like pictures.
Okay, cool.
But it doesn't have to be like the best art, you right. know. But I do. You know, like
then why you're like so many like Godzilla books because the art
that's for story.
You read Godzilla for the story.
Yeah, it's compelling. I don't really read that much Godzilla, but
yes, you do.
But like, if it could be like the best artist on a Godzilla book, like at one of those crossover things.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like, I don't care about the story. Like,
I'm not saying that I'll think a book is good if it has only good art. And not good writing.
But you said it's more important.
It is more important.
We're going to cut this off right here. Okay. We could go forever.
Yeah, we could.
It's already a long episode.
For me to, I'll just say.
What did you get this year from the shop? Or what are you going to get? Do you know?
Closing statement.
Oh, fuck.
I'll only consider a book good if it has good in both categories.
But well, yeah.
So that's all I'll say. If one of those 2 categories is shit, then I don't think it'll be like a great book. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Anyway. Pull list. Shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Absolute Wonder Woman 17. Absolute Martian Manhunter number 9. Got to get the absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
Green Lantern 32. And then there's a book, a Vertigo book called The Peril of the Brutal Dark. And an Ezra Kane mystery is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It is a
rolls off the tongue.
Jacob Phillips book.
Is it Chris Condon?
Chris Condon, yep, writes it. I've heard that name before. I'll see if I pick it up. I probably will. Flip through it and be like, Jacob
You've
Phillips
read
is really
books
good.
By him.
Yeah, I know. I just couldn't name him off the top of my head because I'm blanking on every single comic book creator today. It feels like
he did Ultimate Wolverine.
Didn't read that.
He's not on Everything Dead and Dying.
I guess I read the first issue of that.
He's not on Everything Dead and Dying, right?
That's someone else. No, that's... Isn't that Tate Bromble?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll probably look at it in the shop, flip through the pages, realize that Jacob Phillips is really good, and probably pick it up.
Yeah, I'll get it.
What are you picking up?
News from the Fallout?
No, I'm not picking that up.
You didn't pick that up?
I read the first issue.
That's Chris Condon.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it was coming out this week.
No.
But yeah, okay, so I read that from him, and that was fine.
Okay, Peril of the Brutal Dark, Absolute Martian Manhunter. There's a new Punisher number one. I think it's like the same team as like the...
Is Benjamin Percy.
Ben Percy.
I think he's cool.
I think he did the Red Band one, or maybe a different one. I can't remember. Is that... Then there's the Rocketeer, the island.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention that or no?
I didn't.
John Layman?
Yeah, John Layman's on it.
Not,
I don't know.
Not going to get it?
Probably not.
Wow. I'm going to tell John Layman at this Comic-Con.
You can tell him.
He goes every time.
You can tell him.
Did you read anything?
I did. I read four number ones.
Wow.
So
if you spoil any of them, I'm going to hit you.
What makes you think that we got the same ones? I read the Muppets Noir, Daniel.
Yeah, we both got that. Did you like it?
Without spoiling anything, I did like it, but I won't get the second one because it's just not for me.
All right. What else?
But I do think I laughed.
That's good.
Not out loud, but I think
so.
I could tell there were jokes and I thought that they were funny. I just didn't laugh out loud.
That's good.
End of Life.
Yeah.
Kyle Stark, Steve Pugh.
Vertigo.
Vertigo book. It's fun. It's definitely Kyle Stark's book.
No number two?
Probably not a number two for me.
Okay.
I don't think. Although I like what he's got going on in there.
Nice.
It's creative. Archie, Army of Darkness, number one. Awesome.
Nice.
It's fun.
Number two?
I'm getting number two that.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a winner for me. And then Death Fight Forever, number one, which is the new Andrew McLean book with a bunch of artists.
All right, you can spoil this if you want.
I won't pick up number two because I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Ah.
But I thought there was going to be a bunch of artists, and there were a bunch of artists credited on there, but there's only one artist on this book, on this issue.
Maybe it's like a cover thing.
Like there's different artists for each chapter, but this is chapter one of the book.
But they have them credited?
They have them credited as like chapter two artists, chapter three artists.
And
they aren't on there. The coloring, I think, is really fun in this book.
Maybe it's like a teaser kind of thing.
It might be, yeah. I don't really understand like what this is, I guess.
Huh.
I think it's supposed to be some sort of like action movie or action video game. Like I don't really understand what it is. I won't pick it up.
Nice.
But I'm excited for Headlopper. Gonna pick that shit up. And that's what I read this week.
Did you see that animated thing that he posted?
No.
It's just like a little video of like Headlopper fighting. Pretty cool.
I'll check it out. Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it.
I read Batman Ego.
Whoa.
You ever seen this?
Yeah, that's the Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll never forget that name.
Darwin Cookbook.
Darwin Cookbook. All sorts of recipes.
This is kick ass.
Let me flip through that bitch.
I was reading this. I'm like, this is one of the best fucking Batman stories, dude.
Whoa. $9.99 at Zia?
Yeah. Good deal. There's also some Catwoman stories in there. Because it's Batman Ego and other tales.
Mm.
But yeah, some top tier stuff.
This looks awesome.
Every time I read this shit, I'm like, he's the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think definitively, yeah.
So I've been kind of keeping my eye out for a lot of his stuff.
That's sweet.
Did you watch anything?
Just what I've been watching. I've watched a lot of Death Note this week.
Hmm.
I think I'm less than 10 episodes away from finishing it.
Nice.
And I like that show. It's funny, but it doesn't want to be, I don't think. So I can tell that it's like a type of it's like a type of comedy where they're trying to be serious. And there are jokes when they're trying to be serious intentionally, but there's also stuff that they do that is just like the funniest shit ever. So I just cool. think it's unique. And then I don't know. I just kind of like half watched a couple movies. I half watched like the King Kong with Jack Black in it.
Oh, good movie.
Yeah. Good movie. Long movie.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours.
Very long. It's like an hour before you even...
Peter Jackson?
Yeah, Peter Jackson. It's like over an hour before you even see King Kong, which I was fine with, because...
Yeah, Sarah's like, I thought this was fucking King Kong. I'm like, you have to wait.
Yeah, chill out, okay? I know you're on your TikTok all the time. And you're right, yeah, but I was just watching it in the background while I was planning for stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, dude, there's like dinosaurs and like big fucking spiders and bugs and
dinosaurs,
shit.
Dinosaurs, bugs, scorpions, and then Sophie told me that she played the King Kong game that was based off of that movie.
Whoa, PS2?
PS2. I looked it up. It is backwards compatible on Xbox 360, but you can play it on the newest Xbox.
Whoa.
So we might do that, because she was like, I got stuck on this like scorpion level. Me and Carlo were trying really hard to get past it.
Did we have that? I feel like I vaguely remember that.
I don't think I've ever played it. I didn't know that it existed, but it was in the era where they would make video games for movies that were coming out.
Yeah.
Which is such a special era of gaming. I watched like a whole video essay on it.
Of course you did.
Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, so I watched that. It was fun.
Nice.
What'd you watch?
We finished Nine of the Seven Kingdoms.
Cool.
Which is the Head Knight thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really solid. You should watch it.
I want to find a time.
People seem to like it, which is neat.
Yeah, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Is it like the book?
It's the book.
Cool.
There's like changes for sure, but
more interesting than the book, you think?
I think it's easier to follow.
For sure.
In the show. I felt like the book was longer. You know, as far as like, I feel like there's more, but
I
could just be misremembering, because that was like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff. Watched a movie called Fall. Have you ever heard of that?
I think so.
It's about like these people climbing
the big tower?
Tower.
The red one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen like TikTok clips.
Yeah. I saw like a trailer for it a couple years ago, like when it was coming out in the theaters. I'm like, that looks stupid. And then Sarah put it on. I'm like, this is fucking tense. I was like,
I heard it was solid. Yeah.
My palms are sweaty the whole time.
Whoa.
it's just like heights horror, you know?
Like some Alex Honnold shit.
Yeah, essentially.
That's cool.
And like, he'd be able to get down.
Did you see that Backrooms trailer? The A24 movie?
Yeah. Doesn't it look incredible?
It looks so cool. The director's 19 years old, by the way. Did you know that?
He was the Backrooms guy.
Yeah.
On the YouTube.
I watched his YouTube stuff today.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of them on YouTube. I've seen like hundreds of clips of Backroom stuff.
Right. I was watching, the Alex Hine, I think is the name. I watched one of his, I don't know how many he has on YouTube, but I just saw one of the Backrooms videos. His
like short endless film. Like, I feel like he's probably got like a bunch of them, but
you learn a lot with so little.
There's lore?
There's lore in that shit.
Isn't it just people going down slides and stuff?
It's called a playground, Daniel. No, it's like, what's cool about it is that you learn lore, but no one's talking. It's just a dude exploring,
uh-huh.
And you get lore just contextually. And I think that's what's interesting about it.
It's just one guy?
There's other characters, but it's one guy walking around the back rooms. And the one that I saw, I think there's more.
It's pretty fucking terrifying.
It is.
It's so eerie.
And the whole time I'm thinking, why is this scary? Because it shouldn't be, but it is. And I think that's cool.
It's just like familiar things that are like elongated, you know, and just it's kind of like a thalassophobia kind of thing, just big ass rooms.
Yeah, it's probably like that. And I think there's just opportunity for jump scares, even though I think he was that director is better than just like a cheap jump scare when you like turn a corner or something.
Yeah, I look forward to that a lot.
Yeah, I think that's cool. We should check that out, because comes out in May, I think, right? Yeah, so I'll be interested to check that out
for sure. I watched a movie called Becky. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So it came out in like 2020. And it's like this girl that goes to like the lake house with her dad or whatever, who's the guy from Community.
Blonde one?
Yeah.
Mm. But he's Tony got brown.
McHale?
Yeah, McHale.
Is that McHale? Yeah. And Kevin James is like a is like a neo-Nazi who escaped from prison.
Cool.
Yeah, swastika tattoo on the back of his head.
Damn.
And they are looking for some key that's in their basement, but they're also like dicks, you know, because they're escaping from prison or whatever.
Mm.
It's kind of like the girl's like 13, so it's kind of like Home Alone in a way when she's like fighting back against these Nazis.
Yeah, Home Alone with Nazis.
But it's also like John Wick. because made a bad movie. Her dad also dies, so that's that. Joel McHale. That's what it is.
Joel McHale.
Yeah, Joel McHale dies. Spoilers. I saw this trailer like back then, and I was like, "That looks fun." You know, mostly because of Kevin James being like a bad guy.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Just intrigued the fuck out of me. But is Sarah saw, Sarah saw that. He's like, "I gotta watch it." I'm like, "Oh yeah, yeah."
You gotta watch Kevin James be Nazi.
Yeah, there's like brutal kills in this, and it's really fun to watch.
Is it the kid doing the kills?
Yeah, she's like kind of crazy.
That's fun.
And then I was watching this, I'm like, I kind of want a sequel. And then she like, Sarah was like kind of scrolling on Netflix, and there's a movie called The Wrath of Becky. And so there was a sequel just right before my eyes. Cool. You know, I manifested it.
Yeah, cool. You're like, this is great.
Yeah. And this one, it's got Stifler as like the neo-Nazi bad guy. So it's just like weird.
Who's that?
Sean, whatever. Stifler from American Pie.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. So it's a bit essentially the same concept in a way. But just like, you know, tweaked a little bit. No dogs dying in this one, which is good.
That's good.
But just.
Do we think John Wick is a bad movie because of the dog? Or is that one of the exceptions?
I think people accept that. I still technically think bad movie, you know, but I can enjoy movies that are bad movies.
Right.
Because of that, you know, you just can't get past that.
True.
But yeah, I thought the sequel was like just as good, if not a little bit better than the original.
That's
so
cool.
I was just really excited for that. But they also left that key that they're looking for in the basement. She also has it in the second one. And it turns out the key has like coordinates on it.
Mm.
And they don't tell you where the fuck it goes or what it's for. I almost like trying to tease a trilogy, but nothing's come out since then. It's been 3 years.
It takes a long time to make a movie.
I guess, but still. I don't think we're getting a third one, but
yeah, probably not.
That was exciting, you know, a couple hours.
Yeah, that seems cool.
And I watched The Running Man.
The Glenn Powell one?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, people either loved or hated this movie, and I totally get that, because at parts I loved it, and at parts I hated it, you know?
So you're in the middle.
Overall, I'm like...
You're centrist.
There's so much fucking good shit in this, you know? Especially, like, watching, like, the old one first.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it, I'm like, what the fuck was that? You know? It's just like, there's really
plot-wise,
dumb
mean?
Dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Because Glenn Powell, he's a mad dude. He's mad at the world or whatever. And it just, I don't know. They just kind of play into that, like, more than they need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of ends kind of weird. I guess it's more true to, like, the book or whatever. But just, there's just kind of, like, cringy at sometimes. You know? Just mm-hmm. things just don't. I don't know, just work.
Right.
But it is like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like it's still an Edgar Wright movie, right?
Yeah, Edgar Wright.
Does it feel like that?
At the good parts.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Overall, I gave it like a 7. You know, and okay. Sarah liked it, which is probably like what I was most iffy about.
That's good.
Because I suggested this to her.
Mm, risky.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that one probably feels more safe.
Because she wanted like something that was like newer. And then she's like, what's it about? I'm like, I'm like, it's like fucking, it's like the first Hunger Games in a way, you know? But yeah, pretty good.
Nice.
What are you gonna read next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
Good question. None's coming out.
Invincible is technically coming out.
Okay.
Really, the only thing we could read would be like Battle Beast, but
is that trade out?
Yeah, the first one is.
Mm.
But we don't necessarily need to.
We do Capes?
I don't know. It's weird because like they're redoing Capes. So it makes you feel like the old Capes is not something to look at.
Do they have a Guardian?
I don't even know if it's like...
Do they have a Guardian of the Globe book? Didn't they?
Yeah, but that's set later in continuity.
Mm.
I did look into that.
Okay.
So we could either do Battle Beast or Random.
I'm down for Battle Beast because I haven't finished that trade.
Okay.
And you haven't given them to me. I think you were the one picking them up.
Yeah. All right.
Battle Beast.
Right. Invincible Universe.
Yes, sir.
Everyone. We'll see you next week.
Yes, we will.
Like. comment, subscribe, link in the bio.
Rate us so we can maybe be the 24th top podcast out of 70.
Yeah, we got to get days. Those numbers up. Yeah. If you made it this far, which maybe not everyone has.
We're sorry.
Maybe give us a 5 stars. Maybe that's what we need. Yeah. More 5 stars to get higher up the ranks.
Yeah.
If it's just a start.
We're climbing the ranks. We're gonna take it over.
Yeah. I've never even heard of these other podcasts.
JRE of the comics podcasting space.
Somehow we got to get past like Word Balloon.
We'll get there. I'll find them.
It's about longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Email us at treewarespod@gmail.com.
Yep.
Tell us your favorite Batwoman book.
Yeah, I am curious.
We don't know. We're just dumb men.
We're just dumb men. We don't read women Batman
books. We don't know women stuff.
Batman but a woman? What do you mean?
And goodbye.